Good morning. God bless you all. I'm hoarse, but we'll get through it. Amen. It's good to be back, and it's good to be back on this particular day because I get to preach this one particular message that I have been preaching in my church in reference to love. And I believe you're going to be really, really blessed by this because there's some key things here that Peter points out that I don't hear too many preachers talk about. Thank you so much. Because sometimes when preachers, they tend to feel that their gifts are, how would you say, getting a little stagnant or boring. They try different preaching methods. And so the big thing right now, which I've noticed, expository preaching, where guys try to preach a whole chapter and a message. And, you know, I love that. But I'm the firm believer that when the Holy Spirit wants to say something and emphasize on a particular verse, yes, we'll read the verses. But there are those moments when the Spirit of God will highlight a particular word in the text. Have you ever had that experience where you're reading something and then all of a sudden it's like you just feel compelled to go back to this verse and you don't know why. And you're like, why? Why am I going back to this verse? And all of a sudden the Spirit of God opens the verse and you're like, okay, God is talking to me. So today, and before I preach, I left the Cupid outfit, okay? All right? My wife would have really... That's it. That's all. I have the Nerf arrows and everything, you know? I don't think I would have made it 2 feet out the door if my wife saw me hanging this thing and just coming outside. Because I preach lately with a lot of props, and my church loves it. And so every Sunday when I preach in my church, and they find out that I'm preaching, they say, oh my gosh, what prop is Pastor Angel going to bring today? So that would have been real interesting. And I'll keep that one in mind. Okay. But I just see now I'm getting these visions of myself standing in front of the mirror with this big diaper now. And this, oh man, man. Oh, Jesus, help me get through this. Oh my gosh. Okay. If you would join me to, God bless you, 1 Peter chapter 4. Okay. We're going to read from verse 7. Okay. All the way to verse 11. All right. Are we ready? And it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in this morning for your presence because, Lord, when your body comes together, you are here. And I thank you so much for gathering us today and bringing us here to minister to us through your word. Reveal your word to us. Open your scriptures to us so that we may apply it and live it and share it with others. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and pray. Amen. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, your love has to be in action. Okay. That's right. That's right. You can't sit on your love, right? You can't sit on your love. Love has to be in action. Anytime the scriptures, or when you get into the scripture studies and you see the manifestations of God's power through service and what people have done, whether it's laying down their lives for someone or serving, you'll receive the movement of love. Because God wants us to understand that, just as the scripture says, that God is love. Some people, unfortunately, like what I just heard lately in my studies of the integration of psychology with theology, I was listening to the Fuller Seminary Symposium on well-being. And the professor, he asked the question of all the students. And he said, how many of you know that God loves you? And all the students raised their hands. So then he said, how many of you think that God doesn't like you? And they all raised their hands. They believed that God loved them, but they also believed that God didn't like them. Interesting. And sometimes we fall into this thing that we start thinking, well, God can't be that happy with me this week because of my stumblings or what I failed to do in keeping with this discipline, or, you know, what I should have done, the tone of my words or the words that I should have used when I addressed this person. But the one thing we have to understand about God's love, and in reference to his being, that the love of God is not expanding or contracting. It is the state of being of who he is. Our love has to grow because it has to be nurtured. The scripture says that love, right? One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And that fruit has to be cultivated. And God cultivates that root, that fruit, with the purpose so that our love expands. And we know that we won't get to that level of where God is in that love. But we know that if we operate in those levels of love, we will definitely lay an impact into the world as to loving people in a way that they're not accustomed to being loved. Today, we live in very dark times, you know, but we have to understand something, that we are the light of the world. We are lights in the midst of darkness. But you know, the energy behind light, and what actually generates light, there is something intrinsic in that light, and therefore there is something intrinsic in the believer. It is the person of Jesus Christ by his Spirit, and the power that he starts to manifest towards humanity is love. Now, when we think about love, especially today, how many people ran to the stores this week? If I could just get like 0.5% in the stock market for Hallmark, right? I wouldn't be here right now. I would have to call Pastor Lou and say, well, I'm sorry. I have this commitment in Cozumel, Mexico. And I'm giving a sunrise service on the beach, okay? But the thing is that people were moving because people were trying to basically get something in order and actual to therefore get to this day so that they could honor this day and demonstrate that I was moving. I thought about you. I bought you this, or I did this for you. That's why when we look at Jesus Christ and we see everything that he did, if we look at Jesus and we see him as the personification of love, then we see that when he laid hands on the sick, we see that love laid their hands on the sick. When we see Jesus then forgiving sin and healing people, we see that love forgives sin and heals people. That's why the enemy, he wants the church to try to adopt this mentality of being so egotistical. Because then when it starts to turn invertedly and just starts to become selfish, he knows that we will start to collapse within, and he knows that we will not operate in the power of God's love. The authority and the power that God has given to us to minister to one another, it is life-changing, even in the little things. How many of you have ever been through an experience where you were down and discouraged, and all it took was a phone call from somebody to just say, I was praying for you. And it lifted you up even to the point of making tears come down your face. And all of a sudden, those tears coming down your face had a medicinal effect on your spirit. And then it gets even deeper. When the person called you and said, I was praying for you, it's really Jesus through the person saying, I'm praying for you. That's why we have to stay within the consistent discipline of what Peter presents here. Look what he says. He says, the end of all things is at hand. Why is he saying that? Because in Peter's time, he lived in a very dark period. The Roman Empire was doing everything it could to basically eliminate the church in its definition of thinking that it was helping the world. The Jews, on the other hand, they didn't want the church around. Because basically now we were living within the freedom of the spirituality that was now no longer contained to rules and regulations, even to the point where some people became spies to want to see about this freedom as said in Galatians. And all of a sudden, what they started to see was a people just loving each other, serving one another. I remember there was an allegorical story that was presented one time, and it talked about two groups of people. There was a group in hell and there was a group in heaven. And the group in hell, they had a table before them and it was full of food. And the group in heaven had the same table and it was full of food. The difference was, is that they had, for hands, they had spoons and forks. That was their hands. The people in hell were suffering because they couldn't get the food to their mouth. But the people in heaven, they were rejoicing. Why? Because they would pick up the food with their hands and feed their brother. That is why, you know, one of the things that you see in this world that tries to drive people, think about yourself, think about yourself, think about yourself. And we have to look at it from the perspective of Jesus Christ. He thought about us. He thought about us. It says here, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. This part is the part of the verse that leaped at me. It says, love covers. The word there, covers, is the Greek word kalupto. It means to veil, but it also comes from a word that means to make a habitation, like a tent. And it means to open that tent and receive the person inside, feed the person, take care of the person, love that person. Now, it's interesting because the word kalupto, which means to veil, but then there's another word which means apokalupto, which means to reveal, which is where we get apocalypse or revelation. What we understand then through this verse is that Jesus Christ on the cross, and this is so powerful, people. On the cross, he was covering our sins, but at the same time, he was revealing God in him. That is why when we act in the power of this love, God is being revealed. That is what the world needs to see. It needs to see God, not just hear about God. Sometimes I run into groups that when they say, we're going out to the street, we're going to street minister. I'm like, that's fantastic. We're going to win the souls. That's great. Yeah, go for it. My question is that how do you treat each other once all that's done? Do you all just go to your separate places and not talk to each other anymore? One of the things that I had to deal with one time in a division within a church was the fact that they just wouldn't speak to each other. One camp just said this, the other camp said that. And I said, how do you expect then the power of God to move in your church if you're basically so divided that you're not realizing that those gifts, you have to use them to serve one another so that then you can perfect that, bring it to a level of skill so that when you go out into the world sees it and the world says, I want to be a part of that. Because that is what the world is looking for. There are different isolated groups in the world. You have the rich. Then you have the educated. Then you have those that basically work so hard, like myself. You know, and there's my boss right there. That we get up from bed and we say, here we go again. Right? But it's interesting. Because the fact is that when you apply these texts and we start, look what it says in verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Maybe I should just keep going right there. Without grumbling. Oh, I was just telling my wife the other day, pray for me. Why? For peace. What do you mean? Because I want to be able to do everything and anything for you without having to say anything when I'm tired of complaining. Because that happens to everybody. We get caught at the wrong moment. We say the wrong things. And then all of a sudden, we're going to bed. And the Spirit of God, it's like a movie. He hits the rewind button. And you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. Jesus, that's not me. And he's like, yes, it is you. Apologize. And then I go and tap my wife. I'm sorry. I was waiting for you. What took you so long? Come on, tell me. I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have said it like this. That's right. But here, the scriptures teach us that we have to reciprocate that love one to another. It's reciprocal. God made a place for us in his heart. That's what it's all about, is that the doors of the heart be open, not closed. That actual tabernacle, the holiest of holy places, the human heart with God in it. Because if God is not dwelling within the heart of man, then it is not a holy place. It is a place where all kinds of things will manifest that displease God. But once God comes to make his habitation within us, that place becomes sacred and separated unto him. And God all of a sudden starts to manifest that power. And we start to release that power of love and service. It says here, as each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Interesting, because it says, as each has received the gift. Nobody here can say that they have not received the gift of grace from God. Everybody here, you have a gift of grace. Everyone here, you don't purchase it. It was purchased for you. It was given to you. The moment that Christ came to dwell in you, the impartation of that gift of grace was given also. The manifestation of the power of that gift of grace, it is so that you would affect others. It says here, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. It says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. When we are selective as to what comes out of our mouth, so that we can glorify God even as to what comes out of our mouth, so that we may serve God in that, to encourage somebody. Just recently, somebody just encouraged me. I was going through a situation, and they called me, and they said to me, Pastor, I know that you're going through a lot, and I know that you're going through this new process of what God is doing in you, but just understand, there are people praying for you. There are people lifting you up. I mean, if you just think about that for a moment, that someone gets on their knees in their personal time and mentions your name to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that your name is resonating into the halls of heaven and into the throne room of God, and we are presenting those people before God, and we are asking our Father, Father, help my brother, help my sister. Doesn't the scriptures teach us that our God who answers our prayers, that he is attentive to those prayers? It says that Jesus maketh intercession. Isn't that something? How we are called to make the same intercession one for another. It is when we make these intercessions one for another that we start to demonstrate the body of Christ on earth. And we let them know, yes, in one aspect, he ascended and went up, but he left the body here to minister to this world. It says here, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Have any of you ever felt that your strength was on E? Hello? Right? That you just feel like, I got no more gas. I'm spent. Right? It's just like, Lord, give me strength. Right? It's Valentine's Day. After Valentine's Day, how many women are going to be saying, Lord, give me strength to deal with this man? The opposite to that is, Lord, give me peace to deal with this woman. All in all, we need the strength of God because we cannot do it on our own. And when we ask God to supply us with the strength to serve one another, to love one another, that is a prayer that he will answer. Many pastors have been discouraged. Many servants in the house of God have been discouraged. And not to realize, you're just lacking the strength right now and you're just discouraged. But I guarantee you that if you cry out to God and ask for that strength, your attitude will completely shift. We get discouraged. We get frustrated. We get depressed. We go through mental bouts. We go through all sorts of things that try to basically take our joy away. But through it all, Jesus is victorious. Because we do have someone that we can go to that can supply us with that strength. There are times where the believer will find himself in a struggle, but the struggle will always come out with a victory. So just recently, in explaining about the struggle of the believer, I was telling the people that it's not that you're obtaining victory, because in part that you are, but it's that you're starting off from the place of victory, not the place of defeat. I said to them, how can you say that you're in Christ, but at the same time say that you're defeated? The platform that we are starting from to go launching out from is a place of victory. We move in victory. We are obtaining victory. Therefore, we understand that when we move forward, what energizes us? What moves us if not the love of God? When we think about everything that we have suffered and how far we have come, it could only be the love of God that has brought us this far. It could only be that dynamic grace that is immeasurable, Pastor. Some scholars believe that the Apostle Paul would get himself in trouble on purpose because he was actually trying to test the limits of the grace of God. In one occasion, he prayed and asked the Holy Spirit, can I go into Asia? And the Holy Spirit said, no. He let it go. But then later on, we see him in Asia. And the scholars believe that Paul needed to put this thing called salvation to a test. And he wanted to see. And I'm not telling you to do this, please. Okay, I don't want you to get in trouble and go to your pastor and say, Pastor Angel said we could do all types of malice and stuff like that. No. But what I am saying is this, that the grace of God that empowers us. Haven't you ever felt sometimes when you were so discouraged and all of a sudden you felt that stillness inside your heart saying to you, you can't quit. You have to keep going. And you're saying, Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can take. The stresses in my life, the pain and the hurt inside my heart. I'm ready to just wrap it all up. But something just tells you inside, just reach out. Reach out towards the love of God. Even if it means calling somebody that you know seeks God and is a believer in Jesus Christ. And picking up the phone and saying, can you pray for me? A church that does not pray for one another is a church that is actually negating the manifestation of the power of God to take place within that body, within the ministry, within the families, within the marriages. You know, today Brother Angelo was teaching on divorce. And teaching about, you know, the different situations that take place. And when Jesus talked about Moses and the hardness of heart, you know, when love is no longer in action in a marriage, that's where the tensions start to escalate. In my counselings with people, one of the things that I do, I ask them, what's going on? And once it starts to basically all come out and it's all saturated in selfishness, I said, there's your answer. When they stopped serving one another, when they just thought about themselves, they got inundated in their feelings and in their frustrations and anxieties, and now they're at war. And as a minister, my job is to help them to look back towards the service, towards the oath, towards the promises that they made to God, everything in serving one another. My wife right now, she is going through a physical situation with kidney stones. This is her fourth time. One time she was going through a kidney stone situation. She was 6 months pregnant with my son. The stone wanted to come out. What did it do? It triggered contractions, and the baby almost came out early. When I tell you the tears that came out of the panic, because I said to myself, not again. We lost one child to cancer. Now I'm going to lose another child so soon. And it was 4 years after my son's passing. And praise God, God did the miracle. Something happened there. And let me tell you, I've seen the hand of God. That's why when people say, I don't believe that God stuff, I said, one day you will. Oh, yes, you will. There are situations that will bring you down to your knees. If you're an atheist, believe me, that won't last long. And so now she's dealing with another kidney stone. So what happens? The girl is in such severe pain because in trying to pass the stone is lodged and they can't get to it. Then they said to us this past week, well, we discovered another stone that's twice the size of that one. So this Friday, she has to go for a procedure. So please pray. I covet your prayers. The one thing that struck me the most during that whole thing, when I asked the Lord in my heart, what am I supposed to do for her? He told me, serve her. Serve her. Whatever she needs from you, be there. So that when she turns, she sees you. The pain when she calls out to you, that you're within the reach of those cries. And it was something that empowered me. It's not that the other experiences I had in life and serving people didn't, but it was something that really opened my mind to understand of Jesus dealing with his church. That when she is going through pains and sufferings, that Jesus is there. Covering, Jesus is there, being that tent over her. A good picture of this is with the prodigal son. When he came home, he was dirty, filthy, and we see the father running towards the boy. What we see is love in action, running towards him. How do we know this? Because his older brother was in the house, and he never made the attempt to leave. He stayed with his own personal love. He never put it into action. And it's so sad because many of the times I understand that we get tired and weary. And sometimes we just feel like, Lord, that's it. You know, I will give this much and this much. And that's when those humbling teachings of life come to us that we need to be careful when we start saying how much we'll give it all to Jesus because we will be tested. It is in proportion to the growth as we start to move with Jesus Christ and he starts to develop that love so that therefore, as we continue to move forward, as we continue to just act in love and love in action, then all of a sudden we will see there is an incredible growth opportunity here for my love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he was in prison and he was just days away, some of the guards spoke about the fact of how he would speak about Christ to them. It's sad because it was just shortly after they executed him that then the war ended. And the thing about it is that we see that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, even in his situation of being in prison, we still see him operating in the love of God to reach out to souls. No matter what our condition, no matter what we go through in life, we cannot allow our love to just be celebrated on one day of the year. Valentine's Day for the church is every day. Amen? Amen. It is in every dark situation. Peter here starts off by talking about the end of all things. He is painting the dark picture, but he is saying, but we will not allow the darkness of this current world to extinguish our love for one another, because we will prevail. This is how we overcome, is when we do those little things for one another. You know, grace is placed, the cookies things. That's an act of love. That's love in action. Giving out turkeys, that's love in action. Inviting me to your house to eat the turkey, that's love in action. Right? My boss taking me out to lunch every day, that's love in action.
That's a fantasy.
I'm praying. But anyway, when our love is in action for one another's brothers, we create a very healthy environment. We look forward to our Sundays. When love is in action in the marriage, then we see whatever tensions that basically come against the marriage, we will see them as something as trying to basically infect the relationship. And when we take the course of action of love, then we're actually expelling those things outside the bounds of the relationship so that the relationship could be maintained healthy. When love is in action, we are demonstrating to the world that our God is a moving God. Just like in Genesis, it says that the Spirit of God will move above the waters. Our God is a God who is in movement. John put it like this in the actual Greek. It says, in the beginning was the word or the verb. That means that our God is not a stagnant God that is isolated to one movement or isolated to one place. He is actually moving at the same time everywhere. In science, they call that folding space, the ability to move without moving. It is to be able to cross time boundaries and dimensions in movement so quick and everywhere at the same time that the person becomes omnipresent. The omnipresence of God is right here also, because of the fact is that we're spirit-filled believers. Isn't it something that our Lord and Savior gives us these words through his apostle? And I find it, I'm even more impacting when I think about Peter. Wasn't Peter the one that denied Jesus three times? Wasn't Peter the one that says, I'm not going to do that to you? Not me. Oh, yes, Peter, you are going to do me like that. But I love how Jesus dealt with that. Because then on the seashore, while Jesus is making an incredible breakfast of fish, right? We see Jesus doesn't bring it up. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. He asked him the question again. Take care of my sheep. Because Jesus was saying, in doing it to your brothers, you're doing it to me. Therefore, in closing, your love in action is what will change not just what goes on in your church, but in your community, in your workplaces, in your marriage. Be careful when you feel that your love is no longer active. Because that's the sign right there. It's time to pick up that love and put it into action. And in so doing, you will be glorifying God in Jesus Christ. Amen.